Bethany Baptist Church
would like to welcome all to attend the Spiritual Revival Missions Conference being held September 15th through September 22nd with the theme Empowering Future Generations for Global Missions. Please plan to join us for spiritually uplifting praise and worship, inspirational missionary testimonies about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and anointed speakers that will minister the word of God. For more information, please go to our website, bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the TJs, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the staff of Biblical Fasting as a Weapon from our series titled The Weapons of Our Warfare. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Biblical Fasting as a Weapon.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, the start of a new year. This sermon, Lord, that will beginning this fast and this new year. And Lord, we ask now that as we get into your word today, that you would guide and direct our hearts, that you would open our eyes, that we might behold wonderful things out of your law. Show us, Lord, things that we would not normally see had we not been here today. And we give this message to you, and we invite the congregation to come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, from your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is the last message in the series. We've been talking about the weapons of our warfare. We've talked about the Bible. We talked about prayer. We talked about praise and worship. We talked about the name of Jesus. We talked about your testimony. We talked about the blood of Jesus. We talked about how to overcome him in Revelation 12:11. So we've dealt with a lot of things. So we've come to this last message in the series as we deal with spiritual warfare, and that is fasting in spiritual warfare. Now, you'll notice that this is the last message. And when somebody said that we save the best for last, that's not the case in this situation. I save what I don't want to do for last. So, I have to confess that I do struggle with fasting. I'm going to be honest with you. I watch a lot of preachers on TV. You know, usually on Sunday afternoon when I go home until I go to bed Sunday night, unless I watch the Steelers or something like that, I'm usually watching preachers because I'm always looking for seeing how guys deliver, seeing how God is using them, seeing how God is anointing them, and it just helps me understand preaching. And so I watch a lot of preachers, but I do have a confession to make, and y'all don't throw tomatoes and rotten eggs at me, but usually when one of the preachers is talking about fasting, I just keep flipping the channel because of so I hope and pray today that you don't flip the script on me, that you don't switch me off, that you don't change the channel. To be honest with you, I'm going to be absolute honest with you, right? That we being honest, the first Sunday of the new year. Actually, I wasn't even going to preach this. I was going to say, well, there's other kind of weapons. We'll just deal with the weapons I already used, and we'll just deal with those, and we won't say anything about fasting. But the Lord just kept impressing this on my heart. And then when I met with Naomi at the end of last year, you know, the Lord just impressed in my spirit that we needed to come together as a church and fast. So this is going to be something that I'll not only pray for you on, but you can pray for me on. As we look at the sheet that talks about the fast, in order to get a fresh, bold start in 2016, we are having a church fast during the month of January. So, you know, we'll have some resources, or you have some resources to look at. And so what we are focusing on is the new year, a fresh anointing on Bethany's members and the ministries, and then the stewardship campaign. Now, above and beyond that, if there's something in your own individual life, something in your personal life that you want to fast about, then, you know, by all means, add that to the list. because this is just not for the focus on the church, but it's for you to focus on your needs too. But as a group, collectively, what we'll be focusing on are these things, you know, a fresh anointing on Bethany's members and the ministries and the stewardship campaign, which has two components, the building piece and the discipleship piece. So, you know, we want you to join us in that. Now, I'm going to come back to this form a little bit later, and we're going to get into the message. And as we get into the message today, I just want to share, and this is not in any of the information that was passed out, I just want to share four benefits of fasting in spiritual warfare. Four, since this is ending the series. And then I'm going to do a complete, I'm going to go through this real quick, and then I'm going to go through a complete teaching on fasting. So that when you leave here today, all your questions about fasting will be answered. And if they're not, you can email me and I will answer any further questions that you might have. But I believe that every question you have about fasting is going to be answered today. So what are the benefits of fasting in spiritual warfare? Okay, now we're talking about how do I get victory in spiritual warfare. We've seen the word of God that you can use in spiritual warfare. Prayer that you can use it in spiritual warfare. Praise that you can use it in spiritual warfare. The name of Jesus you can use in spiritual warfare. But how does fasting work in spiritual warfare? First of all, many people are bound by the enemy. That he has them wrapped up, tied up, yoked up, bandaged up, and all confused. And in Isaiah, if you'll turn there, Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah 58, in verse 6, and we're going to come back to this passage a little bit later on in the message, but God is talking to the people of Israel about fasting, and they have some wrong motives for fasting. But look what it says in verse 6. The Lord says, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness and to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. And I like this one here. And to break every yoke. To break every yoke. Are you yoked up by something this morning? Is there some sin that has you gripped and has a hold of your life? Is there some habit, besetting habit, that you can't seem to get rid of? God says that he calls his body in Israel to fast so that they could break the yokes that are upon their lives. I don't know what your yoke is today. Maybe you have an obsession with something. Maybe there's something that you are addicted to. What is it? That's a yoke. That's a bondage on your life. And God says that when you fast, and again, we're going to talk about that today, that when you fast, that you're able to break the yokes of bondage upon your life. And even sometimes to break the yoke of bondage in the lives of other people. The second benefit is that it empowers believers against the enemy. Now, we're not going to turn there, but in Matthew 17, when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and as he stood there and Elijah and Moses appeared to him, and the disciples that Jesus took, they were so impressed that they said, let us build three booths and let's immortalize this moment so that we can just always have this mountain to come to and worship Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And Jesus said, no, fellas, we're not going to do that. And then when he came back down from the mountain, a man was there whose son had been demon-possessed. And the man came to Jesus, and he said that I brought my son to your disciples, but they could do nothing for him. They weren't able to do anything. Do you remember what Jesus said? That this only goes out one way. And what was that? By prayer and fasting. That if you want power against the enemy, Jesus says that you can have victory over the enemy through prayer and fasting. So when Satan comes up against us, that if we have girded ourselves, if we have prepared ourselves, that we'll be able to do battle against the enemy. The next thing we see is that fasting disciplines the flesh for strength in the battle. Now, again, we're not going to turn there because we all know this story, is that when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was tempted by Satan. When did Satan hit Jesus with the temptation? It was after he had fasted for 40 days. After he fasted for 40 days, Satan hit him. And then what did he begin to hit him? The first thing he hit him with, what? Man, I know you're hungry. I know you want something to eat. And if it had been Pastor Glaze, I'd say, yeah, Big Mac and an order for, no, just kidding. And Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so Jesus, even though he was God, he still had this body to deal with. He still had this body that he got hungry in. And because he had disciplined himself through 40 days of fasting, that even though his body might have been weak, his spirit was strong. And he was able to do battle against the devil. He was able to do battle against the enemy as a result of being in fellowship with God through a fast. And then, what does fasting do? The fourth thing. It moves dependence away from self and places it upon the Lord for help in the battle against the enemy. And so if you look at Ezra chapter 8, and here they were getting ready to go on a long journey. And Ezra needed some, not only protection, but he needed some materials as they got back to the promised land. They were going to go, this was about a 3 to 6 month journey that they were getting ready to go on. And Ezra, before he starts out, he gathers all the people and he says this in verse 21 of Ezra 8. He said, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, look at this, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all of our substance. What was he saying? We can't trust our resources. We can't trust in ourselves. But we do have a God that we can trust in. And on this journey that we're getting ready to go on, that we want God to go with us. And as God goes with us, we know that he'll provide and he'll protect us as we go. And so what did Ezra do? He calls for a fast. Spiritual warfare. So this is how you can use fasting in spiritual warfare. Now let's look at fasting. And what is fasting all about? If you pull out the brochure, again, this is a brochure that I put together. I updated a little bit. I put together several years ago, probably maybe 10 years ago, I put this brochure together. And the first thing that we want to ask is, what biblical fasting is not? All right, what is it not? First of all, it's not a diet. So, I mean, you can fast to lose weight. You can fast if you want to knock a few inches off you. I mean, that's fine. But if you're doing it to lose weight, then that's not a biblical fast. All right, I mean, again, if you want to fast to lose weight, then that's fine. But that's not a biblical fast. Second, it's not a manipulative method to get God to do something. Some people think, well, if I fast, then I'll impress God. You know, I heard the story about a general who had just got promoted, and he moved into a new office, and he was sitting there and, you know, really getting acclimated and kind of sitting, not really doing anything, and somebody knocked at the door. And he wanted to make him think that he was important and busy. And so he picked up the phone and he started saying, yeah, you know, I order you to do this. And, you know, we're going to need this done by a certain day. And he just went on and on giving a bunch of commands. And he looked up and asked the guy, he said, what are you here for? He said, I'm here to hook up your phone, sir. So, you know, you can't manipulate God, right? You can't impress God. All right, so if you say, I'm going to fast because I want to impress God, then that's the wrong motive. It's not a religious ritual. It's not something to say. Now, if you look at spiritual disciplines, there are a couple spiritual disciplines. Reading your Bible is a spiritual discipline. Prayer is a spiritual discipline. Worship is a spiritual discipline. And fasting is a spiritual discipline. So it's not a ritual. You know, it's not something, some routine that you go through and that becomes a part of you know, your who you are just because it's a ritual. No, it's not a ritual. Fasting is something that when you understand it and you understand how to do it, it's something that can, you know, bring down mountains. As the choir sang this morning, he can move mountains. And if we connect with God, that he can move mountains in our lives. So what is fasting? What is fasting? Well, if you were to go and look up fasting in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is tsum. And you know what it means? It means to cover the mouth. To cover the mouth. And so fasting, you know, the concept and the idea in the Old Testament of covering the mouth. Now, if you got your mouth covered, you can't what? You can't eat and you can't drink. And so that's where the word fast comes from in the Old Testament. So fasting in its basic elementary sense means to go without food and without water. But we also see today that it can include abstinence from other pleasurable and meaningful activities. Okay, and I'm going to talk about that here in a second because we know everybody can't, you know, abstain from food and water. But to fast means that you would abstain from other pleasurable and meaningful activities. Now, notice this. It is for a specified purpose that when you fast, it's for a purpose, and it's for a specified period of time. And during this time, it's the whole intent that I'm drawing closer to God. And as I was studying this, man, a powerful concept came to my mind. And the concept is this, is that when I eat food and I drink water, it's nourishing my body. Watch this now. Don't miss this. And when I fast, I stop eating and drinking and nourishing because I want to do what? I want to draw closer to God. And I want to give up a part of myself and take on a part of him. And if that's not your motive, if that's not your desire in fasting, then you're kind of missing the whole idea. The idea of fasting is me to give up a part of myself and take a part of God, that if I'm before him in prayer, if I'm before him in reading my scripture while I'm fasting, that I'm taking on the principles of God, I'm taking on the power of God in the place of the food that I would have normally been eating. And that's what fasting is. Now, somebody will ask the question, is fasting for Christians? Because we read a lot about fasting in the Old Testament. So it's fasting for Christians. And first I have to say that nowhere in the New Testament are believers commanded to fast. There's no passage in the New Testament that says that you have to fast. However, Jesus assumed that his followers would fast. Because what did he say in Matthew chapter 6? He said what? When you fast. So he didn't command us to fast, but he said, when you fast. So he assumed that his followers would fast. And we see the example in the New Testament in Acts 13, when they were looking for missionaries to send out, it says that when they fasted, that the Holy Spirit spoke to them, and they sent out Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry. So from that sense, we can say that fasting is for Christians, even though it is found all throughout the Old Testament, and it seems to be a strong Old Testament principle, yet and still we see hints of fasting for the believer in the New Testament. What is the key to fasting? What is the key to fasting? Now, I'm going to get up here, and I'm going to share some things that you might be able to do. But there's one key to fasting, and it's found in Matthew chapter 4. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 4. There's one key to fasting, and it is this. And when Jesus, verse 1, and when Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tested by the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. What is the key? The key is that he was led by who? The Spirit. If you will go on a fast, Pastor Glaze can make suggestions. Pastor Glaze can say that this is what he wants the church to focus on. And I found this because in the past, you know, I've fasted because I've been a part of groups that said let's fast. And you know, sometimes I'll be honest with you. You know, again, you know, this is a message that I struggle preaching, and it's a concept that I struggle dealing with because, you know, people start telling you how to do it and what to do, and then the first thing is you're trying to follow what somebody else is trying to say, and then you get frustrated, and then you get upset, and then you don't want to do it at all. You know, especially you get out there now, I'm going to be honest with you. You get out there and your head starts hurting. You start getting lightheaded if you do a food fast, right? You start getting lightheaded, and then you think you're sick, man. You're ready to go to the doctor. That's just them poisons coming out of your body. That's them parasites trying to get out. You know, they're screaming for, give me some carbs, give me some carbs. Right? So now you're getting lightheaded, get a headache, and all this other stuff, right? And then all of a sudden, you're sitting there watching television, and a commercial for Applebee's comes on. And then you're really struggling then, right? So, you know, the key, what is the key? The key is to be led by the Spirit. And that's why I wanted to do the teaching, to give you these concepts so that you seek the Lord and you let the Lord guide you how you should fast. What can be abstained from during a fast? Well, of course, there's food. You know, some people abstain from food like Jesus did. And then there's the abstinence from food and water. In Exodus 34 and Esther 4:6, and Esther said, drink no water and eat no food. So some people abstain from food and water. Now, here goes one right here. Some of y'all might really struggle with this one here, and that is abstinence from sex. I'm not going to make any comments. Let me just move on. But that you can fast from that, all right? And then in Daniel 10:3, there is the abstinence from pleasurable things. Daniel fasted from pleasant bread. And so what was the idea behind pleasant bread? This phrase comes from the Hebrew expression lehem hamaroth, which referred to banquet-type foods. That, you know, the king was always throwing banquets with all these rich foods. And so they said that he fasted from pleasant bread, from the rich foods that he walked away from those things. So in recent times, fasting has grown to include pleasurable things such as favorite foods, television, radio, sports activities, exercise, or any other activity that consumes considerable amount of time. So we have expanded the whole idea of fasting in the day that we live, and a lot of the expansion comes from this concept here in Daniel chapter 10, verse 3, where he talks about pleasant bread. You know, that means that you abstain from something that you enjoy. You abstain from something that that's pleasurable to you, all right? Now, again, we're going to say, what do you do when this happens, all right? What time of the day did most fasts found in the Bible begin? Now, there's a lot of controversy about this, but in Leviticus 23, it says they fast from even until even. And so that was actually the Jewish day went from 6 o'clock in the evening to 6 o'clock the next evening. So a lot of times when the Jewish people fast, they start at 6 o'clock in the evening, and they went all the way until 24 hours until the next evening. And so, you know, there's some controversy about whether that was...
joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Biblical Fasting as a Weapon. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Biblical Fasting as a Weapon, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Biblical Fasting as a Weapon. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Biblical Fasting as a Weapon. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, The Weapons of Our Warfare. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.